When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Car Stuff, and I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com.
I am Ben Bolin. I am totally unqualified to give legal advice.
It's a nice way to start.
That's it.
Yeah, that we should start everyone that way.
Well, I think there are some things where we don't really run into that as much, mm-hmm. but just to make sure that no one confuses us with a pair of car enthusiasts slash lawyers.
Oh, legal geniuses.
Legal geniuses,
yeah, that's
yes.
Right. Definitely not. Definitely not. But we are going to talk about something that kind of gets into the legal aspects here of, well, it's automotive related.
Yeah, definitely.
But it also has to deal with guns.
Yes.
And this is, well, you were kind of wanting to talk about this one because you said, hey, Scott, let's talk about cars and guns in this one. I said, what do you mean, cars and guns? And you said, well, you know, how can you carry a car and a gun if you're licensed
a gun
to carry
and a car.
One? They say, what?
I guess it depends on the size of the gun.
Oh, sorry. I guess I was, I got it backwards there. That's fine. But how can I carry a gun in a car? And I thought, well, that's an odd question, Ben. Why do you want to know that specifically? Because you said, I like to carry my Gat up on the dash when I drive around town here in Atlanta.
You got to let him know, Scott.
No, really. You were just you're just curious about it, right?
Yeah, I am curious about it, and I think this is a subject that we can take a look at for our listeners' edification as well, because for a lot of people outside of the United States, it seems very, very strange that our laws in this country, and they do vary state by state, spoiler alert, it seems very strange that these laws would be so permissive, so welcoming to the idea. So we'll start off. I don't think it's the boring stuff. It's the very important stuff, actually. Since the Second Amendment allows civilians the right to bear arms, and I assume that someone has already made the joke about the arms of grizzly bears and black bears. Nowadays, though, it is taken to mean more so firearms and large weapons like knives – or not knives, but, you know, swords, offensive – they're called weapons for offensive purposes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You need a special license, at least in Georgia, to carry a blade that is – more than 5 inches long and for offensive purposes.
Five? I thought, now in some states, I think it may even be 3.
Wow.
Which is pretty restrictive when you look at most of the pocket knives that you'll find even under the glass case there at, I don't know, Walmart.
Sure.
Or anywhere, really.
Right.
A lot of them, you know, with hunting, fishing purposes in mind are a little bit bigger than that, but, I didn't know that it was 5 inches. That's actually a pretty big knife, but, I don't know.
Yes.
I got you scurrying there, but the
no worries.
I thought I remember in other states that it was 3 inches, but maybe that's nationwide now that it is 5. I'm sure someone will write in and tell us.
Yes, somebody should let us know here. We're going to keep this high level because, again, we do not give legal advice.
Yeah.
But
and that's not really the focus of today's show anyway. It's the size of a knife that you're carrying around.
Right. No.
That's your own business.
That's just some interesting thing. that's just a little bit of a sidebar here. Okay. So I'm going to go with a lot of stuff about Georgia. But again, with the caveat that this is one example of a varying legislative push, you know?
Understood.
All right. So if you want to have a gun in Georgia, if you want to have a handgun or a concealable firearm, you need to have a license to be able to carry it around outside of, you know, your home, your motor vehicle, or your place of business. But the law already grants the right to carry a gun or a firearm in your private motor vehicle as long as you pass a couple of rather easy things. Interestingly enough, getting a firearm license goes through the probate court, which is the same place where you get married.
Really?
Where you get a marriage license.
That is interesting.
Which is why in a lot of places, if you call the probate court looking for information about your firearm license or the girl you're absolutely in love with, you're going to hear something. It's like, welcome to the probate court. Dial 1 for marriage license. Dial 2 for a firearm license.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Same exact place.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Yeah. I had seen that before. One of my friends got married years back and told me that he was amazed that he went into the courthouse, Scott, and there was literally one window for marriages, right? So you see these couples lined up getting their license. There's another window for firearms.
So weddings to the right, guns to the left.
And people in the line for the weddings apparently were talking to each other sort of like, you know, honey, while we're here, let's just go, because I already paid for parking.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get both licenses while we're here.
So, the ability to carry a gun is legislated. There is a investigative process that tries to keep firearms out of the hands of people who shouldn't have them.
Sure. That's why it takes a few days, right?
Well, in Georgia specifically, they've got an instant background check system now. So the person selling you the firearm has to call our version of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the GBI, Georgia Bureau of Investigation. Gotcha. And they have to check and say, does this guy have a criminal history? Have they been involuntarily hospitalized? So they have to check that when they sell, I think, any handgun.
Now, so it's instant, not a matter of days at this point, right?
Scott, that's a good question. I'm going to be honest with you. I've got the law here, OCGA 20.4.7, which is about the eligibility to purchase a handgun in Georgia. I'm not 100% on the amount of time there.
Okay, no problem.
I would assume that it's just not going to be instant, just because that seems like a massive...
What about for the people who want a gun now because they're mad?
Oh, those people. They have an express lane.
Yeah, that's the whole reason.
You can only buy 15 guns or less though.
Yeah.
So, but now astute listeners will pick up on something, a little hint that Scott and I dropped about these laws. Let's repeat again. You can have a gun in your home, your motor vehicle, place of business.
Okay. So the obvious question, should I go ahead and point it out here?
Well, should I read where you can't have a gun?
Okay.
Okay, because this will set it up.
Go ahead and do that then.
Okay, so you can't have a gun, whether it's a long gun or a handgun, in the following places, like in a government building, in a courthouse, in a jail, prison, in a religious place, like a place of worship, in a mental health facility, which is defined in a way that also means rehab. I think it's a great idea on both accounts. And you can't take it into a bar unless the owner lets people.
Or school.
Yes, or school. or school. Thank you. Mm-hmm. How did I miss or school?
I don't know. That's all right. I'm just chiming in when can here with my valuable info.
Nuclear power facility.
Oh, good.
That's is on
good.
The books.
I'd say that's a good one.
I sleep a little better at night. Yeah. Here's a weird one. Now, I wonder about this one. Within 150 feet of a polling location.
Hmm.
Now, you know, the average gun, defined as a working gun, can shoot a lot farther than 150 feet.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's for when people park their cars.
Oh, that could be.
So they can leave it in the car.
Sure.
More so than like intimidating.
Okay, so now we're back to this. You've described where you cannot have one, right?
And we're, yep.
Okay, so you can have it in the house. You mm-hmm. have it in the car.
Yep.
You can have it in the place of business and with the exceptions you just mentioned.
Sure.
How do you get it from the car or the house to the car to the house?
That's a good question.
Because it's not legal to carry it between the two, right?
Yeah, unless you have
a particular license, right?
Right.
Okay, but there are some very particular rules about what you have to do with that gun in between the house and the car.
Yes.
Or the car and the house.
Yeah.
So what's that?
Well, you can, the law is kind of specific. Like if you have a valid pistol license to conceal and carry, then you should be able to conceal it in your clothing, your handbag, your briefcase, or other closed container, but you have to also have it in a holster, a hip grip, or some sort of other pistol-holding device.
So you're not just carrying it in your hand and swinging it around.
Right. You're not just walking around punctuating your version of zippity-doo-dah with gunshots in the air.
That's right. Understood.
I think that's specifically in the law. But the question of how people can bridge this sort of legislative loophole, this gap in the reasoning has been ongoing. It has been a subject of some debate. One of the most controversial parts of this debate in Atlanta, at least our own fair city, is concerning public transportation. Have you heard about this?
No, I have not.
Okay. I'm gonna read from a great website here about right to carry in Georgia.
All right.
Now, this says, except for those with a valid license to carry, it is a felony offense to carry a deadly weapon onto a publicly owned rail vehicle or bus. Now, the operative words there, without a valid license to carry, without a pistol license. Carrying it into a public building that houses the public transportation is okay if you have a license. So again, if you have a license, you can walk to a MARTA station and you can hop on the train with it.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people have a huge problem with that law.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quoting again, in order to carry onto a commercial airline, the firearm must be unloaded, locked in a case inside your checked luggage, separate from its ammunition, and declared to the transportation company. It's against federal law to carry a firearm past the metal detectors. It's like, just so you know, if you're like, don't worry, I'm going to leave it with my buddy in the terminal.
Yeah, right.
Not going to fly.
Okay.
But it's for a lot of people, you know, some of the most effective public transportation in the world is outside of the United States. And so for a city of Atlanta size to have a law on the books which permits people to take guns onto public transportation, it seems very ludicrous, very strange. However, people who support this legislation argue that crime rates have actually dropped as a result. Now, will this law stay on the books? That's up for debate, Scott. But I wanted to bring this up because, you know, I kind of look up to you.
I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate
it. I don't know why, but sure, well, I appreciate that. I don't know why you look up to me. That's what I meant.
Oh, okay. you don't know why you appreciate it.
No. I meant the other, you know.
But I wanted to ask you, now, this is just opinion right here.
Okay.
What do you think about the idea of having handguns in cars? Now, before you answer, let me say that just like the laws in the gun laws here in Georgia and a lot of the gun laws throughout the United States, I'm sort of differentiating between like longer barrel rifles and hunting equipment.
We're talking about handguns.
Yeah, we're talking about everything from Dirty Harry down.
Yeah, you're talking about just self-defense type guns, I guess. I feel that if the person is licensed to carry that gun and they've gone through all the courses and the safety course, especially the safety courses, if they're licensed to carry that, then, you know, have at it anywhere that it's allowed by law. Mm-hmm. Are you saying you want to know if I agree with the public transportation?
Let's go to that. That was actually my next question.
Because honestly, if they're licensed, again, if they're licensed to carry that and they have taken the safety courses and they know how to operate, you know, how to mm-hmm. handle this gun in a safe manner, because really, I sound so cliche, Ben, but the most dangerous part of any gun, I think, and the safest part of any gun is the owner, the operator.
That's a great point.
And so I think if you're trained in, you know, all the safety courses and you've got mm-hmm. the skill to handle this thing, and the sense to keep it where it's concealed.
Yeah.
So you're not flashing it around. You're not pulling it out to show people or threaten people with,
right,
of course,
right.
Which all goes along with the licensing and the training, because
mm-hmm.
you'll lose that quick. I mean, that day. Then, yeah, I say let them carry it.
Well, here's an interesting – you bring up an interesting point here that I really appreciate, and I feel like we should say this too, especially if there's someone listening who thinks this kind of thing is just ludicrous legislation. The effort to license gun owners is really is actually pretty effective. A lot of the people who would commit violent crimes with a gun are not the type of people who would do the paperwork and the training necessary.
There's not much licensing going on there at all. That's where the gun transfers hands via cash,
mm-hmm.
never registered or has the registration marks scratched
right,
out.
Right, it might be hot or have bodies on it.
Exactly. So, yeah, there's a big differentiation there between mm-hmm. someone who's a licensed, safe handler mm-hmm. who's got a concealment license. And someone else who just buys one on the street and mm-hmm. keeps it in the glove box just for safety, just in case.
And to go back, you'll hear a lot of people who vehemently oppose gun control arguing about the constitutionality of it is what the buzzword they'll bring up
mm-hmm.
and the concept rather. And This idea basically goes back to the Second Amendment, and the reasons behind it, these people would argue, are that the average citizen needs to be able to, if worse comes to worse, oppose the tyranny of a government the same way that the U.S. historically did with England.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that is, like most concepts of that nature, that's very high level, perfect storm scenario, like absolutely everything goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But the concern is that if this is taken off of the books, then the risk of the ability to respond is too big of an ability to lose. Personally, I know a lot of people who work in different professions where they do carry firearms, and they're all licensed and they have them on their person or in their vehicles often. And these people that I've seen with them are conducting themselves in a responsible manner. You know, I haven't ever played Russian roulette with one of these guys or tossed the gun or whatever people play.
In fact, you probably, other than asking to see it, mm-hmm. They probably have never showed it to you, right?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, they're
very low key.
Yeah, exactly. That's my experience too, is that if somebody is licensed to carry a concealed weapon,
mm-hmm.
You will rarely see that or even have any knowledge that it's there. I mean, you just won't know it's there.
And now let's go to a little bit of a devil's advocate side. The people who are against someone possessing guns in their car or firearms of any sort in their vehicle, to make it general, will usually point out statistics that say things like most of the home injuries from gunfire are friendly fire, sadly mm-hmm. enough.
Yeah.
And they'll also point out that people's self-control is notoriously unpredictable.
Yeah.
You and I have talked about pet peeves and road rage.
Oh.
And I know there are incidences where someone who was legally licensed, like a state in the United States, had determined they were responsible enough to drive around with a gun. And in the most unfortunate way, they proved themselves incapable of that responsibility.
Yeah, that's terrible.
So the question then is this a situation where we can keep this sort of law and expect drivers to be safe or even safer? Because originally people wanted this, you know, to protect themselves from a incredible change or tyranny in government. But nowadays, we also hear a lot of the support being attributed to the ability to defend oneself against unlicensed people with guns.
You know, I just keep on this issue. I just keep going back to the licensing and the safety test and safety courses that they take. I think that as long as you're properly trained, they judge you to be a relatively, I don't know, even keel person, or however they determine that, you know, this person should be licensed or this person should not. I don't know how that all flushes out.
Right. But usually it's like violent crime in your past.
Well, yeah, something like that. But I mean, just, I don't know. I don't understand if it's a, and someone has to step me straight on this, but I don't know if there's like a person that determines, you know, like, we just can't license this person. But I don't think that's the case. I think as long as you pass their tests, you pass their tests. So yeah, as long as they pass it, I'm still going to stick to the side of, yeah, let them do it.
See, I'm a little bit worried. I'm on the fence because it makes me think, I mean, you know me, outside of the show, I'm a huge proponent of personal liberty. And I think we're pretty lucky to live in a country that lets us pursue these kind of things. Mm-hmm. However, I also wonder, I hear people on both sides of this argument, and I also have to wonder, the people who are for gun control and against having guns in personal vehicles, in public transportation and stuff, are they correct when they say this is a case of one bad apple legitimately ruining the bunch? Like, is the threat of one unstable person in there, despite their licensing, is their threat, does it carry enough weight, really, that it justifies denying this to other people?
I say no.
See, I'm still not sure, man.
Hey, one quick. So we could talk about this back.
You're right.
So I want to talk about one thing that a lot of people think of when they think of guns and cars.
Okay.
Gun racks.
Yes, dude.
How long? I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen a gun rack.
Yeah, well, you're citified now,
Scott. Well, yeah, but the reason is because it's only allowed, you know, we talked about how they have to be concealed.
Yes.
In the vehicle or to and from the vehicle, rather, where no one is allowed to see the gun coming from the vehicle or going into the vehicle. It has to be completely concealed in a case, a bag of some kind, or, you know, some other form of cover, right? Well, there are some states, you know, and that's most states that require you that, you know, when you're transporting, it has to be covered up. There are some states that, they don't have any, containment issue. I mean, you can,
unloaded.
Well, some have it contained and unloaded. Others have no requirement that the guns are stored in cases, and they can be transported even in the front seat. Mm-hmm. They can be transported in the glove box. They can be transported anywhere. It could be in the trunk.
Willy-nilly.
Exactly, anywhere. Now, there are five states that still allow this, and they are North Dakota, South Carolina, Tennessee, South Dakota, Texas are the five. And, you know, if you think about it, I guess Texas would be the one where I'd think, you know, he's the rancher with the truck with the gun rack on the back.
Sure.
But I know here in the South for a long, long time there were gun racks.
Most definitely.
And I mean, that's in the North too. There were gun racks in the North for a while, but I guess most states now have outlawed that with these new concealment issues.
And in rural areas to this day, you still see, hunting trucks or something.
Well,
that have
you may see a truck.
They're not supposed
with,
to be doing
well,
it.
Well, they may have the rack, but they can't have the guns in there.
Right.
And see, that's the difference. In these five states, you could have a gun in there.
Which is so interesting because, I'm from Tennessee, so. I always kind of thought it was normal growing up.
Yeah, well, I've seen it many, many times in my life, and I don't remember where I saw it, if it was Indiana or if it was, you know, Illinois or where it was exactly, or northern Michigan. But I do remember seeing gun racks in cars before. I know for sure I have. You know, farm country in Indiana, I know I've seen that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, also it might be a necessity too because in Indiana, I don't know if the coyote have gotten that far.
You know what? Honestly, when we would go out, I had an uncle that had a farm, and I'd spend the summer there. When we go out chopping wood, he carried a weapon with him specifically for that, for coyote attacks and things like that, to protect us. And it was a legitimate reason. It was it was a real concern. You know, when we're back in the woods and the backside of the property, that you know, anything could happen.
Yeah, coyote run fast.
It does happen, yeah.
So I guess one thing we've established here with this look at stuff, we hope you guys enjoyed it, right? Do you have
More? I'm done. No, I don't have any more because I'm a little bit sketchy on the exact rulings of some of this stuff. So if our listeners have got anything they can clear up on it, you know, please let us know.
And also let us know what you think about these sorts of laws as they relate to vehicles. Do you think that these laws are going to change? So how do you think that they're going to stay the same? Do you think it's a good idea? Do you think it's a bad idea? You can tell us on Facebook. You can tell us on Twitter. You can drop by our awesome blog. You can also check up on any other auto-related topics at our website, How Stuff Works, in case they forgot from the beginning. And if you want to cut through the middleman, we'd love to hear from you. You can write us directly at
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. To learn more about the podcast, click on the podcast icon in the upper right corner of our homepage. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.